I know it was short, but sweet probably, right? Okay. So our next session is OCA reporting. And Sandra is from the OCA, and she is going to be giving this class. She has been with the OCA since 2004. She's on the Judicial Information Staff. Is that what that is? Okay. She's responsible for collecting, analyzing, publishing court activity statistics and other judicial data. Prior to the OCA, she worked for the IRS for 25 years. She has assured me that she is not taking any names and she is not sending anything to the IRS. Okay? So, speak freely. So please give a warm welcome to Sandra.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. I'm really glad to be here. As she mentioned when we started, we're on a very tight schedule and we've got a lot to cover in this hour. A lot of it you may have already heard before. We're just going to go over some of the current form. But if there's anything that we don't cover in this class enough for you, if you have more questions, you want to discuss it, you can call me, you can send me an email. Just make sure that if you go away from here with any questions, that you give us a call so that we can get those cleared up for you. Because as I said, we're going to move a little bit quickly so that we can cover everything that we have to take care of today. So the first thing, I'm going to remind you, who makes the decision that these reports actually need to be done every month? How important it is that you do the report every month, that it's not just a maybe I'll do it, I want to do it, but this data is very important to you and to others. Again, we're going to talk about what you should be putting on the current form, and as many of you that may have already been in one of these classes either with me or someone else from my office, you'd be surprised how many times you just hear it for this time and you just didn't realize that you were doing something improperly or not collecting something you should. I had that happen in a class I taught last week for the justice courts, and people just didn't realize. They said, for years I've been doing this wrong. And it's not something that you don't know. It's just it clicks all of a sudden. So we're going to talk about the current form. We're going to talk a little bit about online reporting. If you're not familiar with that, give you some tips and information on how you can start reporting online. Also, whether or not you're reporting online, things that you can get from our system, some reports that you can get that could help you in your day-to-day work and in some other areas. We're going to talk about the upcoming changes to the report. You should have a copy of the current and the revised report. This is going to be going into effect in September of 2011, and what you're going to need to do to get ready for that, for those changes. Okay, again, on who decides to collect the data. The Texas Judicial Council is the policymaking body for the judicial branch, and they consist of 22 members. They are judicial, legislative, and actually citizen members. And in case you didn't know, the council was incepted in 1929, so it's been around for a while. And one of their primary duties has been to gather the statistics from the judges and other court officials. And the Texas Government Code 71.035B is the one that says you need to do that report every month. It says judge or clerk. Ultimately, the judge is the responsible party. And Chapter 171 of the Administrative Code tells you that those reports should be in our office by the 20th of every month. So by tomorrow, I should have all of the reports for this fiscal year through the month of June. So always remember, you are reporting for the preceding month. So September through June, I should have by tomorrow. And that is regardless if you had activity or not. If you have no activity, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but you still need to do a report. Now, in the Judicial Information Staff, we are a staff of three, and the agenda actually says I'm the manager. I am not. Angela Garcia is my supervisor. She's been there for a while. She also used to work in the Austin Municipal Court and helped set up the Austin Community Court. She has a wealth of background. Myself and Amanda Stites is the other person that works in our department, and we are responsible for these three publications. And these publications come directly from the information that you provide to us. Now, the first thing you'll see there is the Trial Court Judicial Data Management System. And if you're reporting online, that link should be familiar to you because that's how you get to the login. Now, you can also get to a few other things there at that login. You can get some public reports, which I mentioned we'll talk about in a little bit. I'll show you how you can get to those. Regardless if you have a login ID and password, you can use this link to get those reports. You can also get to the judicial directory, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But as far as the Trial Court Judicial Data Management System, that information has been stored there since 1992. So if your court provided us with a report, we have those reports all the way back to 1992. You'd be surprised how often that information is looked at over a series of months or years, and I'll tell you how you might be able to use that information over several years' worth of time in helping you do some things in your office. So if you're interested in looking at how your court has changed over the years, I'll show you the reports that you can look at to actually see that. Now, we are in the process of revamping this system, and it will be seamless to you. You'll see a few minor enhancements, perhaps a little bit more, a little bit quicker response time, although it's not so bad now, but you'll still go to the same website. The thing that will change for you, when I say you can go back and get that information back to 1992, after you change over to the new reports in September of 2011, you'll have until February of 2012 to actually be able to go back and get that information back to 1992. After February of 2012, it'll be cut off. You can get that information off of our website, but you won't be able to actually go in and get it and make any changes, because at this time you can make any changes that you need to. And when I say to people that you can go back and make changes 5 or 10 years ago, you think that that might not happen, but it happens all the time, because we'll have either a new person come in that's really meticulous about looking at the reports, or someone that like comes to one of these classes and it snaps that something was totally missing from your reports for many years, and you go back and you gather that data. We can go back and update those reports. You may not think that that's important, but it is, because we want the live database to have as much current and correct information as possible, so you can make those changes. When we go to the new system in September of 2011, it's going to give you a few months that if you need to do that, but after that, the only data that will be stored will be from that fiscal year starting September 1, 2011 and later, okay? So that's just something to keep in mind if there's anything you need to change. Now, the Texas Judicial System Annual Report is the report that we compile, taking all of the court's monthly reports. So again, in our department, we are responsible for collecting all of the monthly reports from all of the courts, the municipal, JP, county, district, Supreme Court, and courts of appeals. So we compile all of that data. And that's how we come up with the Texas Judicial System Annual Report. And if you've been around for a while, you'll know that once a year we'll send out a snapshot of what we have in the database for your court for the current fiscal year. We ask you to take a look at it. We ask you to make any changes that you need to, and then we'll publish that in the annual report. The annual report is no longer published in its big voluminous volume that we used to, the paper copies. It's just a very streamlined paper copy that we do, but all of that information is still online at our website that you can actually go to and look at. And the last thing is the Texas Judicial System Directory. Now, if you've been around for a while, also you'll know that in January or February of every year, we send you out that snapshot of what we have for the information in your court. That'll include the judge or judges that are serving in your court, the court's address, fax number, phone number, website, email addresses for the judges. All of that information goes into the Texas Judicial System Directory, with the exception of the judges' email addresses. So if your judges have any concern about us providing the public with their personal email address, unless they tell us it's the email address for the court, it will remain unseen by the public. Okay? So that's something you might want to let them know. But it's very important that you get that information back to us. We will publish, again, that directory. We only publish that online. We do not publish any type of paper copy of that anymore. And that online directory remains static, unless there's a very, very high-level change, perhaps to the Supreme Court, one of the justices there, or the Court of Appeals. We don't make changes. So if you have a new judge coming in the middle of the year, or you move, or you have a new phone number, or any of those things that we collect for the directory, it's very important that you let us know about that. When we go to the dm.courts.state.tx.us website, there is a directory update where you can actually click on that. It will open up an email, and you can let us know that way. You can call me. You can email me. My email address will be on the last page of this presentation. But it's very important that you let us know about those changes. We need to know how to contact you, especially in this upcoming year where we're going to be contacting you about the changes to the report. So, and when I'm contacting you about the reports, if I'm missing reports, I'm generally going to try to fax you. So it's very important, if any of those things change, you need to let us know. You'd be surprised how often we'll find out that a judge has changed 2 or 3 years ago because we never got the response back that there was someone new in the court. So again, when there's a judge change, we need to know when the current judge left, what date they left, and what date that the other judge assumed office, because we collect all of that data. We collect when they come into office and when they leave office. So again, make sure that you're giving us those updates whenever you have them. Now, one of the most important things on this report and on the revision, we want to remind you that it's not all-encompassing. This report is not meant to capture everything that goes on in your court. And the other thing that's very important is that you keep in mind that it is judge-centered. So it's looking at how are these cases coming in for the judge to make a decision on and how they're going out. It's not going to capture all of those important steps that go on in between the beginning and the ending of a case. So it's not everything that the clerks, all the hard work that the clerks are doing to get that case finished. It's how it comes in and how it goes out the door. And it measures how it comes in, how it goes out, and there's some information that you can get off of our reports that helps you see all of that, how they come in, how they go out. So again, I mentioned that it's required by law, and the latest revision of the form that you should have was revised in 2003. And at that time, there were 5 new juvenile data elements added. If you're not using that form, and don't assume that your vendor has the correct form loaded for you, because a lot of times they don't. If you're not using that form and you have that activity going on, you're not getting credit for it. And again, it's needed. The information is used for the legislature, executive and judicial branches of our state government, helps them make decisions regarding jurisdiction, structure, and the needs of the court. Now, that doesn't necessarily affect the municipal courts as much as it does perhaps the county and the district, and sometimes the JP. When populations grow, a lot of times they'll have to have additional resources. They'll have to establish another court. In your courts, you might have to add additional associate judges or additional clerk staff. So again, the information is widely used. And I mentioned one of the primary purposes of the case data activity collection, it's to obtain the measure of the workload. So the data on the nature and volume of the work before the courts can be used as a management tool. It also can be used as a planning tool. So where I said you can go back and look at over the years how many cases have been going through the courts, you can look at how many judges you have. Do you need to get additional judges? Do you need additional court staff? Do you need other resources? Do you need new software? Do you need something else to help you get your work done? The information that you provide on those reports, if it's accurate, can help you build those cases. And again, when we look at the reports, I'll show you how you might be able to do that. It also shows how well you're fulfilling your functions. It can show how well you're not doing, but the thing we want to do is actually show how well you are doing. It's going to show you, it's going to highlight different things in your case activity. It's going to allow you to analyze those things. How well are you getting the cases through the system? How many, perhaps, DSCs? How many deferrals? How many cases are going through as they're just paying the fine? And again, allows policymakers to recognize the emerging problems. Again, it doesn't affect the municipal courts as often, but it does the other courts. Now, when I said that people are looking at these reports, you may not think they're looking at the municipal court reports. We only have, I think, a couple of courts where there's actually elections held, where the municipal court judges are elected officials. But that's very important for those people who are elected. We get calls from the media about they're wanting to take a look at reports. The Commission on Judicial Counsel, they will call us about whether or not a judge is fulfilling their obligation to do the report every month. The public, as far as the municipal courts, I get a letter about once every month or once every 2 months asking where a particular court's report is. And this court doesn't have any activity going on right now, so they are sending a report, but this particular interested citizen thinks there should be something being reported. They remain anonymous. There's no way that I can respond to them, but that's just one example of someone that might be looking at what's going on in your court. Now, this is just an example. This happened in a JP court. How important it is that the reporting is accurate. There was a dispute between a constable and a JP, and it noted that the county auditor's office found that another court consistently underreported their traffic cases on the report that they sent to us, and they are currently being audited. The article also mentions the erratic numbers reported by the court from 2006 to 2008. This can happen for a couple of reasons. I hate to say this, but it could be intentional. Could be the figures were inflated and they may not have been thinking that it would get caught. I like to think that that's not the case, that the problem might be that your software is not collecting that data properly. Again, don't assume that your software is infallible. You, and I'll say this probably throughout the presentation, you are the best eyes of what's going on in your court. It's very important that you look at your report every month. Don't assume that it's correct. Don't assume that it's collecting everything it needs to. I know, especially in bigger courts, that there's no way that you're able to look at your report and say, yes, I know that there should be this number of DSCs or this number of trials or this is the total revenue amount. But you know when something is totally missing. So again, you are the best eyes to look at your report and to make sure that what we're getting is accurate. And that's why I want to just talk about some of the things that we see coming into our office on the reports. And this is either if you're sending the form to us or you're doing it online, because we review the data that's reported online as well. We don't just look at the reports that you send to us, the paper copies, and that you want us to input for you. If you're entering the report online, we are taking a look at that information too. So again, I've mentioned this before, no court activity, the report is still required. As long as you are a municipality with a court, then we are expecting to have a report every month. If you don't have anything to report, all you need to, and you're sending it to us, you just put a big line across the back or a big zero or write no activity, something to indicate that there's no report. If you're doing it online, there's a checkbox that you can check and go down to the bottom, put your prepared by whoever's doing the report, and click on submit, and that's all you need to do. This isn't quite as much of a problem, the confusion between our reports and the comptroller's quarterly reports and the reports to DPS, because I think those reports you're also doing online now as well. But we used to get copies of those, and just know that the only report that OCA is interested in is the municipal court monthly report. There are times when the report doesn't make it to our office, so it's very, very important that you keep copies. You are required to keep a paper copy of your report for 2 years. And that is not what you print off of our system after you input it. It's what you use to get it in there. So if you have a software system that's giving you a report, you need to print that out and keep it. If you are electronically filing, if you're some of the courts that are lucky enough to be able to upload your file, you need to keep a copy of that uploaded file. Again, for 2 years, you're required to keep it. Don't just keep it on your computer. Don't just keep it on a disk because those systems fail. So make sure that you're keeping those paper copies. Don't get upset if we call you or I send you a fax that we're missing particular months. And you're going to, I think I've done that more this year than I normally have, and I'm going to be doing it as soon as I get back. I know we're getting towards the end of the year, and with all of these changes that we have coming, and we're doing the change to the database, the county and district courts are changing their forms in September, and we're trying to do the annual report. We want to be able to make sure that you have all of your reports in, that you're covered, and that we're not trying to scramble at the end of the fiscal year to get the reports in. Again, I mentioned the reviewing your report for accuracy. One of the big things that we see, the most common problems we'll see is we'll have cases filed and revenue at the end of the report and there's nothing in between. So there's nothing to justify having a revenue in that month. You've got a good flow. You're not a court that has one or two tickets a month. I'm talking about courts that have a sizable number of cases. You know there's something coming through and you have money that you're reporting, but there's nothing to show for why. So you should always have, if you have new cases filed and revenue reporting, and I'm talking healthy numbers, you should have cases that are closing either in the fined category or the trial by judge. So again, that's something that you can look at every month, make sure those reports are accurate, make sure those numbers are there. If you never see DSCs or deferrals, and you know you had them, and you know you had some closed that month, you need to check with your vendor. We had a problem with Encode a few years ago where they weren't reporting the DSCs on some of the reports. They did I think they did an update on the program, and some of the updates didn't go through properly. So make sure that you're checking that report for your accuracy. On the paper reports that we get in our office, make sure we can tell who you are, who the name of the court is, and that's either on, if you're filling out our form or a copy of it, or if you have a vendor, there is one vendor that for some reason does not put the court name on it or the month in the year. So you're having to write that on for yourself, on your own. So just make sure that we can identify who it's for. Make sure that we know what month and year it's for. Make sure we can read it. Make sure I can kind of make out what your numbers are, either if it's printed off of your from your software or you're handwriting it. And just make sure that you're only giving us numbers, no tick marks or dollar amounts in anything other than the revenue. A dollar amount sometimes we'll see in the fined category. That's the most common problem we'll see there. Another problem we'll see sometimes is number of hours in community service rather than the number of cases. So just make sure you're taking a look at that. On those of you that electronically file, you need to make sure that you are selecting a month and a year. And again, I'll show you that screen when we get to the online reporting. You need to make sure that you do that, because if you don't, it's going to go into just kind of a no man's land where we call it a zero report, because there's 0 month and there's 0 year. And then we have to either contact you or try to determine where does this report go. So just make sure you're selecting that. Make sure you're sending it for the proper month. That, again, in July, you're doing June. If you're reporting online, it's not going to let you select July. But if you have other outstanding months and you're selecting the wrong month, you might be getting the data into the wrong month. Watch your revenue figures. Make sure that it's not too high or too low. Generally, we'll see it too low if a number stuck or if someone puts their cents in the figure. And you don't put any cents, you don't put a decimal point or cents. If you had 50 cents or more, you're going to go up a dollar. Less than 50 cents, you're just going to stay at the dollar amount you have. But again, no decimal points, just take a look at your report. Even once you've submitted it, if you go back in and look at it, make sure that it looks right. Make sure nothing was missed. Make sure you didn't, again, a number stick. We kind of review those reports as well, and we try to catch those problems. Sometimes we don't. So we want to make sure that your report is right. And one of the most important things when you're reporting online is make sure that you're getting that message that the report was saved successfully. Again, I'll show you that when we get to the report. Oh, actually, it's this next screen. So you have to have this message in order for you to know that the report was saved. If you don't get this message, there's no sense in calling me because I can't see it. And the other thing is you're going to see it populate right here. The report that you've done is going to go right here. It is one of your checks and balances that you can use every month. If you see a missing month in the current fiscal year, if you didn't see January there, every month after that, while you were doing those reports, January was not there, and it's kind of telling you every month, do January. So you just use this. These are active links. You can go in and look at those reports if you want to. The notes field is at the bottom of the page, right before the where you put your name in the prepared by area, and we want you to use that to actually tell us about unusual things about that report. And it could be that you have you had a large number of warrants issued that month because you had a warrant roundup, or you had, and in the next month because of that you had a high amount of revenue. Or you could be deciding to dismiss. The prosecutor and the judge could have decided that you're going to dismiss all your old cases from a certain date on, or a certain date back. So your notes field is where you're going to want to put enough information so that anyone looking at the report, either us, your court, an auditor, anyone that is looking at that report and has looked over a series of months and then they say, boom, look at, we've got 250 dismissals, or we've got, you know, $6,000 more in revenue than you generally have. They'll know when they're looking in that notes field, that's why there's something different in that in this month. The notes field, we don't want you to use it to let us know about a change to your judge or anything that we're going to put into the directory. Again, this is the email that comes to me that tells me you need to update your directory information, or you can send it to my email, you can call me any way that you want to. We eventually find those notes in there, but that's not the best way to do it because we want that information to get there as soon as possible. If you have that change, that something that needs to be corrected, we want that in the directory as soon as possible. And this is just showing you the notes section. And you've got quite a lot of room in there to make some notes. So you can be as wordy as you want to, or just as long as it gives us the information that it's going to tell us why those changes occurred. Now we're going to go over the proposed changes to the monthly report. Oops, sorry. Again, this report is going to take effect in September of 2011. And just to give you a little background on how we got here, and again, I told you we're changing the county, district, JP, and municipal forms. The district and county court reports had not been reviewed or reevaluated since 1985. So in 2002, the Judicial Council asked us to assemble a work group to make those recommendations regarding changes that we wanted to make. Also, they asked us to develop a civil cover sheet that the courts are going to use. And in the last few sessions, the legislature also directed OCA to revise its reporting system. So as I said, we're going through all of these changes all at the same time. Now, in March and May of 2008, a work group consisting of justices and municipal court judges, clerks, court administrators, and the general counsel of both TMCEC and the Texas, the JP Justice Center, Training Center, they all got together. Was anybody on that committee that's in this room? Okay. So it was throughout the state, there were some clerks that participated. What they did was they met, they reviewed the reports, and they came up with recommendations for changes, hoping that it's going to more accurately reflect the current workload of the courts. Again, not actually capturing everything that happens, but a more accurate picture of the most important things. So the recommended changes were submitted to the Council's Committee on Judicial Data Management. They met in November 2008 and February 2009 and considered the proposals. The proposals were approved by the Judicial Council in August, and they were published in the Texas Register in order to get public comments. We also sent out to the courts. We asked for comments from the courts. We gave them until sometime in December. We got one comment from the municipal courts. So everybody's real happy about the changes, right? So we got that final approval. And again, the effective date, September 1, 2011. This link right here is going to be one of your best friends. The first one is the OCA's website that shows you everything about the forms. It's going to give you FAQs. It's going to give you the forms. And I'm going to show you a shot of the screen in just a minute. But it's going to be one of those things that you will want to save as a favorite on your computer. The next one is the Texas Judicial Council, and they also have the revision to the forms on their website. Our website is the one that you really want to make sure that you keep track of. So this is just telling you the things that are going to be available for you. So this is the website. This is the required reporting webpage, and you're going to find again the forms, the instructions, the frequently asked questions that will be updated as those questions come in. As we get the questions from you, when you give us a call or send us an email, and we think it's something that globally a lot of people are going to be interested in having the answer, we're going to post it there. So that's why I said you're going to want to keep that website as a favorite so you can go in there every once in a while and take a look at what's been coming up, what are the questions that have been coming into our office, and it might be something that will be helpful to you. You're going to find the redline version of the forms, which actually will make those changes to the forms pop out to you so you can see them easily. And you're going to find your spreadsheet with the DPS codes classified by OCA case category. So this, again, is a snapshot of the website. What I want to point out to you is that the municipal courts and JP courts for the first time were providing you with Excel spreadsheets. So for those of you who don't have a software, if there are any of you that don't, at least this will be something that you can actually, you know, do the report online. You won't have to do it by hand. Well, I say online. You'll be able to fill it out on your computer, then either send it to us or print it out for yourself and do the report online. And you're going to find the instructions, the forms in PDF and Excel. You're going to find case category charts, which actually will help you look at where it's being reported now and where it's going to be reported in the new form. Again, the redline versions and your DPS violation codes. So make sure that you're keeping that as a favorite. And this is, again, the Judicial Council's website. This is where you'll just find the changes to the forms, to the reports. Now, to get into those changes, the criminal case categories were broken down a little bit more. The work group members, when they met, they noted that the current case categories did not accurately capture traffic offenses established by local ordinance. Those things like vehicle weight limitations set by the county. So a county ordinance subcategory was added to traffic misdemeanors. The work group also recommended that non-traffic misdemeanors be broken down into penal code violations, violations of other state laws, and county ordinance violations. Now, one of the things that Angela thought was most important, because she collects the data, she's worked with this for a long time and looked at it, one of her biggest concerns was taking the opportunity to clean up some of the misleading categories and actually clarify for you and so that everyone knew exactly what the report was intending to capture. Because of that, the name of the find category was changed to uncontested dispositions, because this disposition type is meant to reflect cases in which the fine's been paid and the case is disposed of without the defendant ever going before the judge. The trial by judge finding of guilty category was changed to convictions and was broken down into two two subcategories to distinguish those cases that actually went to trial from those to where the defendant actually pleaded guilty. The form was also modified to capture the civil administrative activity handled by the court, such as bond forfeitures, dangerous dog, abandoned vehicles, red light camera violations, which those red light cameras are everywhere now. So we added that. One of the main tasks of the committee was to actually try to get the JP and municipal court forms identical wherever possible because the courts are so similar. The most important area where the consistency was needed was in the juvenile activity section. A number of the items that you had been capturing in the municipal courts for years had not been captured on the justice court forms, so we added those. As a result, all of the juvenile information captured on the municipal form was added to the new justice court form. Also, magistrations were added to both forms. Another thing that the committee was tasked with was making the forms more consistent with the district and county level reports. The primary change needed to accomplish this was the tracking of pending cases at the beginning and the ending of the month. There's one of the major changes for you. You haven't ever before had to have a pending balance and an ending balance so that you had a number to reflect of how many cases you have right now in your court and how many you have at the end of the month. The work group also recommended adding additional filing and disposition categories to more accurately reflect your caseload. All other cases added was added to the civil and criminal sections to capture the ways, other than a new filing, that a case may reach the docket. So those could be your transfers from another court or a motion for a new trial, a granted motion for a new trial. Also, the disposition categories in the civil sections were changed to mirror those used by the district and county courts. The more detailed dispositions reflect different kinds of involvement by the court, so that could be from defaults or agreed judgments to jury trials. There were a couple of categories that were added, and that was because of inquiries that we got and feedback that we got about the forms over the years. We've been collecting the information that you've provided to us, that the judges have provided to us, in anticipation of a change to the form. So a few categories were added where courts have indicated that there have been substantial amounts of activity, but no place to report them. Compliance dismissals was a problem. The definitions of the current form and in our instructions were very specific, and there were many dismissal types that cannot be included in the report. So that's why you'll see a lot of these that have been added. We have identified also transportation code dismissals, which we have identified 13 of them so far, but there could be more. Again, with those conversations with you, you may let us know, and we'll add those into the instructions. Another significant area of uncaptured activity involves show cause or revocation hearings. That's where the defendant's going to show you good cause why they didn't meet the terms of their deferral, or they couldn't satisfy the terms of getting their DSC done in time. So this item was added to count the number of hearings held because of noncompliance. The total revenue needed additional information. This was the one that judges were the most verbal about, that they strongly gave us feedback on. The commissioner's court, that was one of the things that the JP said. The commissioner's court looked only at revenue, but not necessarily what affects the revenue. So the work group recommended breaking the community service category down further into partial satisfaction and full satisfaction of fine and court fees. In addition, they added information on cases in which jail time credit was given and cases in which fines and court costs were waived for indigency. They also wanted to indicate the amount of fines and fees waived for indigency during the month. One of the other things, the revenue, they needed additional information. So the work group, as well as the judges, felt it was important to show how much of the amount collected is actually kept in your court versus how much is sent to the state. So we made those changes to the form. cases appealed. What have been called a lot of times leapfrog appeals, they were growing a lot. Cases where the defendant enters a plea, then appeals to the case to the appellate court, either the county or the county court at law, and they effectively are bypassing your court. So to better capture when this is happening, the work group suggested breaking the count of appeals into appeals filed after a trial and appeals filed without a trial being held. And also, since the number of juveniles being transferred to juvenile court is unfortunately rapidly growing, the work group wanted to better characterize the transfers to juvenile court to show how many of those are mandatory and how many are discretionary. Now, the Task Force on Indigent Defense are the ones that asked us to add this information to be captured. They are also attached to our office, and they wanted to be able to report to the legislature the percentage of people being magistrated that are requesting counsel. So that's why you see the changes in that area. We've broken down the magistrations a lot more. We've added these to the report. So these are, again, this is more information that you're going to have to capture. Magistrations have typically been one of our hardest things to capture, or for you to capture, because so many of those things happen outside of normal court hours, on the weekends, in the evening. So, again, it's very, very important that you have that dialogue with your judge so that you're getting that information so that you can get it reported on the form. So again, I mentioned one of the most significant changes to the reports is the addition of pending cases, and also we're going to also track the active and inactive cases. So I'd say the biggest changes for you are your pending balance at the beginning of the month and end of the month, and your active versus inactive cases. Now, adding the distinction of your active and inactive, it's a good tool for you. It's going to be more reflective of what your actual case workload is. And I'm going to tell you about what we determine is active and inactive. It's going to help you measure the age of your pending caseload accurately. It's going to determine meaningful case processing times and also help manage court resources. So your active cases, it's simply a case that you can move, a case that you can move to disposition, okay? You have control over it. An inactive case, and these are some of the examples of a criminal case. The defendant has absconded. You don't know where they are. You cannot bring that defendant to trial. And you're issuing a warrant for their arrest. That's going to be an inactive case. They've been committed to a mental health facility. They're otherwise unavailable, which could mean they're in a state, a federal prison. So if you cannot move that case for whatever reason, it's going to become inactive. The majority of your cases where you're going to see inactive are in your criminal, but there are some examples of civil cases. Those would be on your bankruptcies. There's an automatic stay on a bankruptcy. Cases delayed due to the Soldier and Sailor Civil Relief Act, or the case has been abated. Again, this is not meant to be all-encompassing or to show you all the reasons why a case could become inactive. It's just giving you some good examples. So, when are you going to reactivate your case? The case is going to be reactivated whenever that condition that made them go inactive is no longer present. If you've arrested the defendant, if they're out of state or federal prison, if the bankruptcy stay has been lifted, any of those things, that's when you're going to be able to put it back. You're going to reactivate it and be able to put it back on the docket. Now, one of the biggest questions we get about the change is, what are you going to do about your older cases? You're not required to recategorize your cases pending prior to September 1 of 2011. You can continue from now until then to report them under the current categories. However, they must be categorized according to the 2011 version of the report when we get there. So if a court does not classify its cases pending on or before August 31st of 2011 into the new categories, you need to remember that each case has to be reported in the same disposition category, okay? So, for instance, a pending non-parking traffic misdemeanor case must be counted as disposed under the non-parking traffic misdemeanor case category. Having said that you don't need to do that, I would say the sooner you want to do it, the better. And that's part of the what do you need to do to get there. And I'm just going to use the county and district courts as an example for you and tell you how poorly they are prepared for the change that they have coming in a couple of months. We worked with them the same way that we're telling you about the changes to the forms, and we worked with the vendors. We met with all of their vendors. We've met with all of your vendors. We wanted everybody to be on board. We sent out letters to the courts. We've let you know that this change is coming, and we have courts that have not, either for because of their vendors or for whatever reason in their own court, they have not started that process yet. So what's going to happen on September 1st for them is they are going to be panicking, and I don't want that to happen with the municipal courts. The sooner you can change categories, the better. Again, we've got your vendors on board. If you're interested in being a test site for your vendor, I would say contact them. If you want to get going, if you do it manually, I would say get going. The sooner you can start recategorizing the cases that are coming into your court with the new case categories, the better for you. Also, the vendor should be able to still pull out the reports, the current report, and you should still be able to use the new categories. If for whatever reason they aren't, or they don't, or you don't even want to bother with asking about that, and you want to have them come out with the new categories, send it to us. We will move that over to the current form to get it in the system for you. I want you all to be prepared because, again, just like the county and district courts, you're not going to be able to flip a switch from August 31st to September 1st and think that the old way is just going to move right to the new way that smoothly. Again, the sooner that you can get there. So you need to look at what's going on in your court. You need to have a dialogue with your judge and whoever makes the decision to start deciding how you're going to get there. Go ahead and implement the changes. You're going to have to test them. Again, where I said, if you have a vendor and you want to be a test site, give them a call. Let them know. See if they'll let you. And you want to test the reports. Don't assume just because they say, again, just like your current reports. Test them. Make sure that they're looking right. Make sure that you know what's going on in your court. Make sure that it's making those changes properly. And again, any questions about that or anything, give us a call. We want to hear from you. Okay, so the last part of the presentation is the trial court judicial management system that we talked about earlier in the program. And just as a reminder, you can either report online here, or if you're not reporting online, you can get reports. You can generate reports for your court, for any court in the state. You can generate reports for the state as a whole, all of the municipal courts. And also, this is where you can get to the judicial directory, where you might want to upload some information if you want to make yourself a directory of, say, all the municipal courts in your county, all the municipal courts in the state. You can actually get to that information, download it to Excel, and use it however you want to. So this is the, when you go to the dm.courts.state.tx.us, which is right at the top, to report online, this is where you'll come. And this is where you'll have your 9-digit court ID will go, the unique ID for your court, never changes, it's always your court ID, and your password. Now, to view public directory, you can go to this link, or you can click right here. And to view public reports, you can go to this link, or click right here. So again, this website right here is the one that's going to get you to all of those links, okay? So once you've logged in, this is the screen you're going to come to, and you're going to, remember I told you that every month, this is going to show you all of the reports we have in for this fiscal year. You're going to see that every single month. Down here, I told, directory updates. Remember I mentioned you could send an email that'll come directly to me. You can click right there to get to that. This is where you can change your password for your online reporting. One thing I want to tell you, a couple of things about your passwords. Your passwords will change periodically. You're not going to get a warning. You're not going to get something that tells you because you generally only log into this system once a month. So when you're trying to put your password in and it doesn't work, it's not you, you can just call our service desk, their phone number's at the end, and they will update that for you. I would encourage you not to change that password the first month that you're going in there because we seem to have some problems with that. So I would wait till the next month or wait till you completely log out and log back in and try that. I'm not saying that that's always happens, but I have a lot of people that call me where that happens. Okay? So if you're adding a new report, you're going to do add new monthly report. And again, remember I told you before, it's very important that you choose a month and a year. Your year is automatically going to default to the current year. So if you're doing December's report in January, you're going to have to move that back to the previous year, and you'll get December. Also, I mentioned that you can't see a July or August in there right now because those reports are not due. So it's not going to let you put a report in that's in the future. It won't let you do that, okay? And then you're going to get this screen. It's going to show you, the form just as it is. It's not going to let you put something in a shaded area on the form. You only put numbers where you need to. Don't need to put zeros. I mentioned the no activity. There's the box that you'll click on if you have nothing to report that month. And again, here's that message I showed you earlier. Municipal court was saved. Report was saved successfully. Very important that you get that. Again, I pointed these out to you, the change password and the directory updates. The judicial system directory. When you go to the directory, again, you can look by court or by personnel. Again, here's another very important reason why we need to have the current judge. Because if you decide to select personnel and you're looking up a judge that's no longer there, there's no judge to find. So we want to have the most current name of the judge. So you can look up anybody that we store in the directory. The only clerks we don't store are the municipal and JP. We have all the clerks for all of the other courts, and we have all of your judges. This is one of the reports that you can look up. Again, you can do case activity by county or by city. I'm sorry, caseload trends and municipal court activity report. As far as reporting online, we wanted to point this out to you. And I brought with me, because this was in March, but it hasn't changed much. Actually, it's the same, except for municipal courts were 65 or 66. Ooh, sorry. It's now 65. It's close. You'll see the high numbers of district and county clerks because they're required to report online if they receive grant funds from the Task Force on Indigent Defense. JP and Muni courts at this time are not required to report online. With the inception of the new form, you will be required to, but not to worry. If you're not ready for that, and even those of you that are reporting online and you're going through that big transition, we will send out a letter asking you if you would like a waiver. We will give you a waiver for basically any reason that you give us. It does not have to be long and drawn out. If you're just not ready, you're not ready with the new form. So we'll give you a six-month waiver. You can send us another letter in 6 months if you're not ready, and we'll do it again. And during that time, you'll just send the report to us, okay? But just wanted to give you the heads up that it will become mandatory. The service desk, again, they can help you reset your password. They can actually get you set up for reporting online, so you can give them a call at any time, and they will help you do that. And I apologize, I thought I had a couple of the reports in here, but I don't. The one that you're probably most familiar with is the Municipal Court Monthly Activity Report that I send you at the end of the year that you'll be getting in a couple of months that actually will take all of the information that you send in every month and total it for the year. At the top, it's going to tell you if we have all the reports. So what you want to see is 12 out of 12 reports. If you see anything less, then you know we're missing some reports. You're going to look at every category and let us know if you need to make changes. You need to make changes month by month. You can't just give us a cumulative total of revenue that you need to change. You're going to have to change it in the month. Because again, we want each month's report to reflect accurately what happened in that month. So you never make a change to something, if something goes off today that you needed to change in a month before, you don't put it in this month's report. You have to make a correction to that report. So the same thing will hold true. When you get this in a couple of months from us, go ahead and make those changes that you need to, but in the month where you have to make the change. And this is our contact information. This is the fax number that we prefer you send the reports to us if you're faxing them to us, because this is right by my desk. The other one is on another floor, and sometimes the pages get mixed up. So if you can, send the reports to that fax number. There's my phone number, my email address, and Angela's, again, her email and her phone number, direct phone number. Call us anytime, email us anytime, let us know how we can help you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandra. Now we're all going to go home and cry for a while until 2011 when we have to start doing this. We're getting ready to break. We have a 15-minute break. We need to be back by 11. Yes, if you still have the breakout sheet and you haven't turned it in, if you could just hand it to Patty, or I'll walk down and, you know, collect or something. So back here at 11 o'clock.